good afternoon. Planet of the Apes. Rise up. Good afternoon to the freak humans living in magnetic fields deep below the earth. The mole people. They have the power of sight. They have fists of fury. But you need not worry, because the ghost of Bruce Lee, he stands there to this day. Ain't nothing gonna pass his way. Because Bruce has the kung fu grip, just like Mr. Dan. If you take me on, you're taking on the kung fu grip. Even my Fed friends know this. Hello, Fed friends out there. And to my one or two or six or seven, I think it is probably six or seven, right? Six or seven? It's probably six or seven real people, real nuggets. Real nuggets of humans, 100% human American, maybe some European people flesh. You're out there too. Because it is April the 9th, 2026. We are in year 7 of Bo Blimp Doc. And hasn't it been a grand old time? 6 years of Bo Blimp Doc behind us. I thought it would end 18 months ago. I was wrong. But I think I'm just off on the timing of a fuzzy event, making a bureaucratic assumption that could have been false. I also didn't consider that these ops they're using have dials connected to them. We'll talk about that later. First topic. This article comes from Al Jazeera, and it was published, I believe it was published today. Excuse me. And the headline is, Israel's Netanyahu calls for talks with Lebanon as soon as possible. This is written by the Al Jazeera staff, which maybe means AI. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his government is ready to hold direct talks with Lebanon. A day after Israeli attacks on its northern neighbor killed hundreds of people and threatened a fragile United States-Iran truce. Little puddle flower truce. Tiny little puddle flower. Not meant to live, nothing but pain to give. That's Uncle Dan. In light of Lebanon's repeated requests to open direct negotiations with Israel, I instructed the cabinet yesterday to start direct negotiations with Lebanon as soon as possible. Netanyahu said in a statement released by his office Thursday, is it an AI? We don't care. The negotiations will focus on disarming Hezbollah and establishing peaceful relations between Israel and Lebanon. The statement comes a day after Israeli attacks and airstrikes killed more than 300 people. It was devastating. Israel and the U.S. have said Lebanon was not included in the two-week truce that aims to allow for negotiations on ending the five-week U.S.-Israeli war that was supposed to last only two fucking days. Flatten that curve, Papa Blump. I remember 2020. This is way better than fucking COVID. At least I don't have to wear a fucking coffee filter to get weed. I mean, as simulations go, the monkey herpes was okay. The Ukraine war is okay, but this Persian Gulf shit and the hypersonic missiles and the Lego propaganda, funny as fuck. Yeah. As simulations go, this is pretty good. Shortly before Netanyahu's surprise announcement about potential talks, Lebanese President Yosef Ayoun said he was working on a diplomatic track on this matter that was starting to be seen positively by international actors. Well, God knows we want Russell Crowe's support. And Lebanon's cabinet instructed security forces to restrict weapons in Beirut exclusively to state institutions where they keep the crazy people. The army and security forces are requested to immediately begin reinforcing the full imposition of state authority over Beirut government to monopolize weapons in the hands of legitimate authorities, Prime Minister Nawaf Salam said at the end of his cabinet meeting. Yeah, you can read the rest of this yourself. We'll go to the next article. We're not going to really read it. We're going to talk about the idea. So a lot of people, and I have a couple links related to this. A lot of people have a conception of what is an immediate effect, a first order effect. For example, if you have a firecracker in your hand and it goes off, you're probably going to feel pain. You're going to feel a loud pop in your ears because it's so close to your ears if you're not wearing hearing protection. The point is there's pain, there's damage to your skin, there's maybe some hearing damage or ringing in the ears. These would be first order effects. Now, your parents find out about it, and then you get punished. That would be a second order effect of setting off the fucking firecracker in your hand. Oh my God, you weren't the victim, kid. You made a dumb choice. A third order effect would be a mom or a dad. Maybe it's something small, maybe it's something big, but maybe a mom or a dad, because of this, because they had to, punish you or ground you or whatever, maybe they go to a job interview the next day and it's just that 1% margin that's different, and that's why they don't get the job. Now, of course, this sounds like a terrible story. Little Johnny, don't set off firecrackers in your frickin' hand unless you live on Arlington Road. If you know, you know. Jeff Bridges. So first order effects are pretty obvious. Second order effects are not always obvious, but little Johnny should know that if he does stupid stuff, the parents will sometimes punish little Johnny. So even though second order effects are not obvious at first, they immediately come to mind. It's the third order effects that people lose sight of. So let's talk about the first order effects of any type of oil shortage. Well, it affects the amount available, supply and demand. So, of course, oil prices go up. How much do they go up? We don't know yet. It depends upon the severity of the shortage. According to what we've been told, a crap ton of industrial equipment, factories, pipelines, you name it, a crap ton of expensive heavy shit, you know, if it's heavy, it's expensive, a crap ton of steel structures were destroyed so far. And some of these steel structures are so critical that, again, companies have to declare force majeure. What is force majeure? Well, it's a special type of thing you get at a Thai massage parlor. No. Force majeure is like saying act of God type thing. I am reserving my right in a case of an extreme emergency to say all contracts are kind of like on hold or null and void. It's more like a pause, like saying these contracts still exist, but there's no reasonable way I can legally maintain my side of the contract. That's basically force majeure. And these countries have been, you know, not countries, but these companies have been declaring force majeure. So we have to believe it, right? The company that sells all the aluminum or all the sulfur says we can't do it. They got to be telling the truth. If all of that's true, then the first order effects of the price of oil have an effect of impacting company performance. That's a second order effect. Another second order effect are all derivative products like plastics, sulfuric acid, microchips that need the fucking helium. That would be a nice second order effect, you fuck. And a lot of people these days are good at first order. In fact, that's how the propaganda works. almost all of the propaganda in the United States of America is about keeping Americans focused on A equals B or A causes B. Maybe it's true, but they don't want people to see beyond that. They want to see people to see in terms of first order effects, cause effect that's obvious. A crap ton of adult Americans do not understand second order effects. Like, they don't think about the fact that the price of oil goes up. Guess what? It's going to impact fertilizer. And guess what a third order effect of fertilizer is? Oh yeah, the price of fucking food. So within this entire situation, there are obvious first order effects. There, in my opinion, for people who understand the world, there are fairly obvious second and third order effects. But one of the third order effects that a lot of people don't talk about because it's kind of fucking scary and it's a giant question mark is the worldwide private banking and equity derivatives and credit default swap market. Dan, what did you just say about my mom? What'd you call my mom? So let's go back, let's put on our time helmet and go back to the year 2019. In the year 2019, late 2019, a man by the name of Zoltan was telling people there's a problem in short-term lending, interbank lending, also called the repo market. And if you want to know what the repo market is, it's kind of like that part of the money flow, the cash flow, that allows stuff from overseas to kind of get into the United States. It's one way of explaining it. It allows companies to essentially engage in commerce with each other. It allows situations to occur at a large scale that you would need some sort of trustee management of current funds. That's the best I can explain it. But it's basically banks lending to each other in support of large-scale transactions. That's a nicer way of putting it. The problem was these large-scale transactions were getting wonky in late 2019. Before the monkey herpes, before the COVID, blah, blah, blah. In my opinion, that was a third order effect that no one had the integrity or the interest or the intelligence maybe to dig deeper and figure out what the first and second order effects were. That was a third order thing that sort of like snuck up on people. It's like, oh, well, how did this happen? Well, I don't think it happened by accident. Right now, probably, and again, I say probably because I was looking for some good articles today and you just can't find them. Like, you can find articles about Turkey and its credit default swap situation. You can find articles related to companies. I declared force majeure on what that does to derivatives. And you can find a lot about some sort of surface level crap. But in terms of the either 1 quadrillion or 4 quadrillion, whose quadrillions are counting, right? In terms of that gigantic private lending and investing and betting market, because it's betting, it's investing, it's conduct of trade, that private world, and the repo market's not so private, but that private world above it is between $1 and $4,000 trillion in size. It's huge. To believe that that won't be impacted is insane. Think about 2008 and the years leading up to it. We had a steady sort of, you know, march of oil prices. In fact, that was the great period of the great, let's call it the great scare of peak oil. And again, peak oil is not a flawed idea. The way in which it's been presented by various thinkers, especially those that are pro-Israel, is where the flaw is. You know, it's not a long, gradual emergency. We're going to figure that out pretty soon. Nature is not that nice. Nature likes equilibrium and nature loves tossing bowling balls at it. If you get anything out of my shit, learn that. Okay? The long trend tends to be equilibrium, except when it's not. And when those things happen, that's called punctuated equilibrium. And a nicer way of putting it, well, no, not nicer, worse. Caldera volcano, you know, Petum event, paleo, Eocene thermal maximum, whatever fucking asteroid took out the hemorrhoids and the dinosaurs. Dinosaur hemorrhoids destroyed by the asteroids. So right now, in the situation we find ourselves in, we have an event. And that event has been the closure of the Persian Gulf. And it's not a total closure. Of course, there's a trickle. But functionally speaking, a lot of resources are not moving through it, and not nearly enough. And there are no good estimates on what that is. Already, that's having impacts in terms of second-order effects. And in fact, a lot of Americans are not going to be able to understand this because for us, we are a little bit shielded. But this next part is where we're not. We're a little bit shielded in terms of oil scarcity. And we're a little bit shielded in terms of petrochemical processing. I mean, yeah, we probably don't have enough plants, but I don't want to talk about that right now. We're a little bit shielded, okay? But when it comes to this third order effect, what if there's a panic in the credit default swap markets right now? What if there's a panic in the derivatives market? Why are so many big private equity firms and financing firms that deal in this big dark market, why are they gating? And again, gating's a lot like saying, I closed the gold window. Nobody wants to say I couldn't pay my bills. Nobody. The United States never, ever, ever wants to say, fuck you, I got no money, I've been in Vietnam, I went to the moon, I had a lot of hookers and swimming pools. Yeah. Nobody wants to have that conversation. They'd rather say, well, you know what we're doing? The French want all their gold back, so we're closing the gold window. Gating is another euphemism. What gating means is fuck you, you're not getting your money. Fuck you, okay? Technically, it's a lot like force majeure in a sense. Like the companies that are involved in this, they can't like steal your money. But what they can do is say, for the time being, you can't pull it out because if you do, everything will go sideways. In that film, The Big Short, there's a point in that movie where a particular player in the markets basically tells his investors, I can't allow you to redeem. I can't allow you to withdraw. You can't take your money out because I believe the markets are flawed. And therefore, if you take your money out, your situation will get worse. Gating is not necessarily unethical, but we have to understand what it means. It means these companies are scared. And this is that third order effect reality, which again, this is where things get more interesting. All of these effects interact. For every third order effect, there's a dude. That dude owns an island. That island has a family. They get paid to live there. For every third order effect, you have an investment banker. He owns a fucking plane. He likes to fly to Spain. And so all of a sudden, this victim, I'm not going to use that. Well, let's use the word victim. All of a sudden, this poor, hapless victim of the implosion of derivatives and credit default swaps and all sorts of banking agreements doesn't have the money to maintain the plane, can't pay for mechanics, can't pay for parts, folks. When we got sold on just in time, did you understand that it was a double-edged sword, right? It had two sides to it. In the situation I'm describing, all of this can happen so fucking fast, it'll knock your fucking teeth out. Let's talk about some truth. Paulson, in late 2008, I think he was Treasury Secretary or some type of evildoer for Bush, Paulson said, if we didn't do the initial bailouts, we would have to call out the National Guards and declare martial law. And people said, oh, that's crazy. Why would you have to declare martial law? Well, let's think about it. Have you guys ever heard of CalPERS? And I've been talking about CalPERS for 10 fucking years, but very few people understand that particular, you know, giant torpedo Dorito of pain. CalPERS is a pension fund. And it's big. And it's worked because it's in the markets. CalPERS could stay well. I mean, understand, guys, Trump can always print money. If the solution is another bailout, that means massive stimulus and that means more money supply. And for the Austrians, we know what that means. That means inflation. But for the ordinary consumer, that means shortages and scarcity. That means that, well, basically, a lot of things you would buy, you're going to be priced out of because unlike a lot of these other folks, the ordinary everyday folks, their margins are not there. They're not going to get massive pay increases. I myself am looking at the reality that in a few months I won't be able to afford to live. And I got some good advice today, said get another job. Well, to all of you that ever want to give me that advice again, I'm just being helpful. Don't ever do it. You don't know my story. You don't understand my story. If you think that it's more relevant to be attached to all this bullshit and to serve any master just to get by, that's not me. And so my situation is deliberate. And let's be honest about that too. Microsoft's not hiring. They're definitely not hiring people in their 50s. None of these companies that do IT are hiring now, right now. Let's get that out of the way. And I'm in a small town and my reputation is in the process of being destroyed. Yeah, if any of you send me a fucking email about get another high paying job, please don't, because I'm not mad at you, I'm mad at myself. Understand? Let's continue. What this means, the just-in-time reality, the globalism, whatever you want to call it, is that all of these impacts are going to happen rapidly, synergistically, cascading, and brutal. And Paulson was not lying. He might have been, I don't know if he's still alive, but back in 2008 when he was snorting coke with hookers on Wall Street, he might have been telling the truth. That if they had not arrested a heart attack in the financial system, it was going to percolate everywhere to include all of these private funds. And you say, well, why is that a big deal? Because the California pension fund, your pension fund, your company's ability to support your 401k, hell, your 401k, everything you can think of is being buttressed by all these financial instruments that are derivatives of real things. And in many cases, people hold documents pointing towards the same asset. That was another thing people found out about in 2008, that you had investment firms that carried stock ownership for the same stock for multiple people. That is crooked. And guess what? That probably didn't stop. So when the tide goes out, and as Warren Buffett would say, you see who's wearing, you know, their swimming trunks, what Warren Buffett doesn't tell you is that once every 1,000 years, like the collapse of the Western Roman Empire in the 5th century, like the 14th century crisis, about once every millennium, economic events occur that are not little, you know, we can just have stimulus. We can just do Keynesian communism. No. Best case scenario, we're looking at the beginning. Again, this is the best case, folks. The petrodollar is dead. No one has come up with a proof for me that how we can restore it. We are done. No one will be forced at gunpoint to use a dollar any longer. If they want to use a yuan, they're going to use a yuan. If they want to use Bitcoin, whatever, people are going to find out that's crooked, but they can do that. If they want to use physical gold and silver, God bless, because that's been money for 7,000 years and it's in the Bible. Bitcoin ain't, and frankly, I think paper money isn't either. Printed coinages, though, which got clipped, you know. Anywho. Let's talk a little bit about the Gulf conflict. Number one, I said, and I actually wrote these notes the other day because that's how fast things have been moving and that's how fucked up my personal life is right now. I still don't know my situation at work. I need to get legal support. I can't find anybody on the peninsula to do it. I'm going to try again on the phone tomorrow, but it's really disappointing. So a few days ago, I wrote the reason for Israel to want the ceasefire with Iran was because they want to turn all their knives, all their weapons on Lebanon, on Hezbollah. Well, that turned out to be 100% correct. I think that Iran knows that Israel and the USA cannot be trusted. So this whole meeting tomorrow or whatever, later tonight or earlier yesterday in time travel world, this whole meeting in Pakistan, whatever, in Karachi, It looks like smoke and mirrors. It looks like the shuttle diplomacy of 1991. You know, I have a hard time believing it's real. If you know, you know. If you know anything about the Gulf War, there was so much shuttle diplomacy. We wanted to prevent the war. Well, they have to do this shit. In fact, if they're getting ready for a coup de grace against Iran, and folks, the only way the state of Israel survives is if that happens at this point. This is what people are also not factoring in. The state of Israel is out of business, in a sense, if Iran gets everything it wants, to include control of the Gulf. And again, I'm not taking sides here. I don't like any governments. I just think that the state of Israel happens to be a really crooked one, kind of like North Korea, or, you know, you remember Jonestown? Yeah, more like Jonestown. Yeah, and it did its own little Mossad, didn't it? And I feel like Israel might go down that branch and sequence where you have a little Mossad moment. And if you need to research that, you do that on your own. Israel, at this point, has a very binary choice, in my opinion. They can let in the nuclear proliferation inspection teams, the IAEA, they can let these people in, the inspectors, they can admit that they have nuclear weapons, they can cease what they're doing in Gaza and the West Bank, and cease what they're doing in Lebanon, and then they could probably go to Iran and say, what can we do to have lasting peace? And if the Iranians are wise and decent people, they might indeed grant the current state of Israel a lifeline. That is one path. And that path is tricky as F, because you have to trust that all the people that Israel's fucked over in the last half century are going to, like, well, really no longer than a half century, 70 years plus. You're going to have to believe that they're going to forgive and forget to some extent. I mean, really, making peace is not as much about forgiveness as finding a point of agreement where you're just not going to kill each other. That's the reality of peace. It's not that the sides forgive each other, but the level of angst and hatred between these societies is so extreme that for the Israelis to achieve this, they will have to, like, wear a hair shirt and admit they're wrong. And frankly, Netanyahu in this deal would have to go to the Hague court, and he'd probably get hung by the international court. That path might work. Every other path for the state of Israel leads to its destruction, to include the obvious one, which is economic collapse. Everybody bugs out because it's a dust zone. Oh, I guess the state of Israel and the Israelis learn that it's kind of hard to conduct business, find food, raise a family, when tens of thousands of tons of TNT are raining down on you. It's also called karma. Oh, Dan, that's not what karma is. Well, it's the way I'm going to use it. Fuck you. Yeah. So it's actually still really dangerous. I had this Dr. Freckles quote I used a few weeks ago. In atomic war theory, you really don't want to win too fast. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's a lot like all these conversations about the escalation ladder, and God bless that Pape guy from Chicago, and a lot of what he has to say makes sense. I studied this stuff myself a long time ago. Frankly, it was well studied during the Cold War. In fact, lots of people, lots of think tanks spent a shit ton of time on the concept of how do you manage escalation? Because again, nobody just wanted to push the button and go immediately to nuclear war. At this point in time, it's very dangerous because Iran has, in many ways, achieved a tremendous amount very quickly. When you think about it, when the dust settles, and this is something Scott Ritter has said, and, you know, he seems like an okay guy. I don't know if he's real. I don't know if any of these people are real. But Scott Ritter has said that, if you don't know, he's a former Marine Corps intel officer. Back in the 90s, he was kind of famous for the inspections, and then in the early 2000s, he got attacked by a lot of creepy people, feds, and maybe he's in the same boat as me, he's just a fancier version, I don't know. But that's the thing. If Iran achieves this, as Scott Ritter said, this is going to be like a renaissance for Iran. If they get the sanctions removed, if they become a partial toll master for the Persian Gulf, they'll take a percentage of the action, which frankly on a marginal basis isn't going to be a whole lot, but that percentage of the action is going to help fund their recovery, fund their rebuilding, probably could fund an entire marketplace that would replace the Dubais and the UAEs. Iran's situation is immensely more strong today, despite all the bombing. It's been terrible what we've done, and I don't say we, I didn't want it to happen, but it's terrible what the U.S. military was used to do. We waged an aggressive war. That is a war crime. It's kind of fucking terrible, and there's no way to wrap this up and say it's okay. But if this were to end right now, Iran's situation, and guys, in some ways this is like a zero-sum game, I hate to say it, but it is. Iran's situation is immensely better, and Israel's situation is immensely worse. Okay? Israel looks like a dud at that point. Israel looks like a bad investment. These companies that pour money in are going to start pulling money out, and that's not even talking about, well, no, that is. We're talking about the Israeli citizens primarily. I don't know how to put this, but based upon the recruiting numbers for active duty activation, based upon what their own chief of staff has been saying, there's a crap ton of Israelis that don't believe in these wars. And if it comes down to survival, I think there's probably a huge number who will not do the Masada. They're not going to do the Masada. They're not going to go up to some mountain and all collectively kill themselves. I just seriously doubt it. And frankly, why would they? They have families. They have kids. Okay, that place is a piece of land. And if you're a Christian, you should know that the devil offered Jesus all the land. And, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, Jesus laughed. So for the Israelis, for the Hebrews there, for the children of Jacob that are actually the children of Jacob, this isn't the first time. Read your Torah. This has happened a few times. And if it happens again, well, maybe that's because in 1 Sam 8, the Lord said there's lots of things you should never do, to include have a king. And that means sovereign. And given that it was written hundreds of years before the Solon Constitution, if you know, you know, it doesn't matter if you vote for your sovereign. Having a sovereign of any kind, whether you vote for them or not, is B-A-D bad. That curse is perpetual. Frankly, Christians out there, you need to know that curse is on your head too. And frankly, it's unambiguous. If you're a Christian, you find yourself around a king or a queen. I don't tell you. Irish anarchist Christians, Americans around a British king, queen. Oh, Secret Service. No, British. MI6 is tracking me now. Dan, did you threaten the king? I shall form a Bunkit army outside of Brisbane. We'll go down to Schoenangle's and have an ale or two and have that fine British food that makes you want to poo. Yeah, so let's be clear, folks. Iran is not confused. They know that Israel and the United States are using this break to come up with a great scheme to destroy them. I'm sorry, but this is all too cartoonish. And people in Israel with any common sense know that they can't afford to lose. Any kind of loss for the state of Israel at this point means that the state of Israel is over. It's functionally extinct. Yeah, it might still operate for a while, but it'll be like those malls. You know the malls that were open when I lived in Indianapolis in the year 2000? And then when I returned in 2013, there's only wolves there, coyotes, wildcats, and gangs. That would be the state of Israel in 2 years. And then at that point, whatever is Palestine just steps in with Hezbollah, just steps in with everyone else, and just takes the land back. The other day I said there was a less than 30% chance that this was going to lead to peace. Folks, I stick with it. And I stick with the idea that giving the odds of peace at this point a greater than 5% chance is really, really optimistic. There are too many forces right now directed towards war. Like I said, Israel has a binary choice. They either grovel before the state of Iran and ask for forgiveness and give up Netanyahu and frankly all the other war criminals. There's a whole bunch of them. Ben-Gvir, all the war criminals in Israel should be given up to The Hague. They need to let in the inspectors. They need to get out of Gaza and the West Bank. They need to stop the Lebanon shit. And then maybe Iran will meet with them. And then maybe they can save the state of Israel. And that's a big fucking maybe. Because even in that scenario, there's the potential that a lot of people just start pulling out money. And once you start pulling out that money, it doesn't matter. Every government is a bouncy castle, okay? Every government is, and you start extracting that revenue and there's nothing there. Nothing left. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you'll have the anarchist Hebrews there left. Maybe the people that, I don't know, the kibbutz people. But the actual Israelis like Netanyahu, they'll all go to Miami or something. If Trump, and I've been repeating this for weeks, if Trump were serious about peace, the answer is so simple. It's right in front of him. well, really, all around him, really. If Trump could toss AIPAC under the bus, if Trump could toss the State of Israel, which includes capturing their nuclear weapons ASAP, if he could do that and let Iran know that he was doing this, this entire formula flips on its head. The problem that's been a problem, a sore in the Middle East for a long time goes away. The United States, for once in a long time, is actually doing the right thing. We're stopping the murders in Gaza. We're stopping the murders in the West Bank. We would be stopping the murders in South Lebanon. And we would be preventing potentially World War III. All of a sudden, the image of America looks very different too. And that doesn't mean we're going to get to keep our bases in the Middle East, but why would we want to? I could see Iran making a deal. Well, you know what? Leave a base in Oman, a naval base, and we'll share the spoils. But all of that requires tossing Israel under the bus. Don't you think, guys, that the State of Israel knows this now? They have to. I mean, whatever Trump is, everyone says, well, he's a businessman. Well, if he's a businessman, the only trade he has left is to trade the State of Israel. And I got to be honest with you guys, I cannot see an ethical counterargument. All I see are those pictures of Israeli citizens eating popcorn and eating hot dogs and watching their neighbors being burnt and bombed alive. So, no, I think that there might be, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like Sodom. Abraham got the Lord down to 12. Can you find 12 good people in Sodom? Brothers and sisters, I don't know if 12 would be enough, but I don't know that you could find 20 or 100. Because once you start asking them about Palestinians, all they do is start raving and, you know, railing and going crazy. And if you're a Christian walking through Jerusalem, yeah, better be prepared for a lot of Jewish people to spit on you. I'm sorry, folks. This is more like Sodom. And I don't think Abraham could find one. Well, other than Lot and his family. So that would be it. Lot and his family. But will Trump toss Israel under the bus? Folks, I think Boblimpdoc is nearly over. And I think the truth is worse than most people want to think about. So this is theater, in my opinion, to some extent. I'm sorry, okay? I could be wrong, but at least I'm fucking consistent. And yeah, I thought that Boblimpdoc would end 18 months ago. Folks, if you're talking about events that only happen once every 1,000 years, or events that happen once maybe every 10,000 years, which is my worst case, I don't think it's bad to be off by 18 months, and it's smart to be early. Like, people could have taken my advice 10 fucking years ago, and their situation would be way better in terms of survival than it is right now. But that was their decision to make. I wasn't a soothsayer. I wasn't predicting the future. I simply saw what was going on. Why couldn't other people see? Well, some other people did. And some other people in the wilderness spoke, and they were also ignored. So when people come out and say, well, why didn't anybody say anything? And that's going to happen very soon, folks. I was fearing that 10, 12 years ago. To be in a situation where people will look at me and say, Dan, why didn't somebody say something? I remember working at Wolfram & Hart, if you know, you know. I remember working at Wolfram & Hart in 2014 and 2015 in Indiana and seeing these people and understanding at that very moment that a reality will fall upon them that so does not match their reality that many of them will drop dead from fright. And yeah, I guess that's in the Bible too. Folks, it's not very complicated. If the petrodollar is toast, the US dollar is toast. The only question is how toasted. I have a friend who'd say, well, Dan, you might be right. It could lose 50% of its value in the next year, but that's about it, maybe. I don't know. I have another friend that says, no, Dan, it's all fine. You know, we're gonna have super tech, AI butt rubs, and no, don't worry about it, okay. Post-scarcity, folks, I have been hearing, I even wrote a short story about it 10 years ago called Morning Dreck. I have been hearing about post-scarcity for about 20 fucking years. You should look around my fucking, my room and tell me about post-scarcity. Folks, post-scarcity is another kind of Bitcoin bullshit, but you can get suckered. You want the fusion rocket up your butt? You want to travel with Elon to Mars? Go ahead, but there ain't no rocket leaving anytime soon, buddy. And that water in the distance, that fog, that chaos, that noise you hear as feet thumping upon the ground, that's gonna arrive here way faster than Elon's magical fucking rocket. One more thing. If this does end up going down the peace route, and I don't think it's necessarily going to, but let's say it does, it is a lot like a dialable op, isn't it? Like they dialed it up, they dialed it down. Dial it up, dial it down. And I, you know, the Trump people have been making money off of it. You know, turn up the heat, turn down the heat. There's a ceasefire, there's no ceasefire. The COVID in 2020 was a lot like that. It had a dial. You turn it up, turn it down. And why? If you're managing a fuzzy event, you really don't know what the threshold date is. And let's explain what the threshold date is. The threshold date of a significant catastrophic fuzzy event is the moment the volcano erupts, the moment the market crashes, the moment the earthquake occurs, the moment the super X flare erupts from the sun. The moment the pole shifts too far, that's the threshold date. Or the moment that we hit a blue ocean event, tipping point in the system, and I don't want to talk about it, but that would also be a threshold event in a way. A threshold event marks that immediate transition from equilibrium to chaos. And when I say chaos, I mean extreme chaos. If we move close to the threshold event, they'll want to turn down the heat on Iran and maybe even bring the troops home. It's one scenario. I don't know. I mean, I kind of view the scenario for the people who run the world as two possibilities. One is they won't do that. One is they kind of manage us into chaos, which I don't see why they would do it. The other one is they just leave and let chaos take care of itself, and that's way more likely. It's like I said, I think the people who really push the buttons in those little Lego videos, the real people doing it, they don't care about who, they don't care who wins any of these conflicts, and they're probably in Antarctica. And if you want to call me crazy, I don't give a fuck, dude. Very soon, a lot of folks are going to feel crazy. And if you want to text message me about your fucking threaded argument with the YouTube dude and all these references to things, fuck off. I'm tired of edgelords. It's like this Mario Knoffel. He's like one of the, other than Alex Jones, he's one of the shittiest interviewers I've ever seen. And yet he gets all these really interesting, cool people on his fucking podcast. Why? Because he looks young and handsome? Folks, this is orchestrated bullshit. And if you need it to feel good, if you need it to feel better that there are these some edgelords telling the truth, fine. Guess what? I could be lying to you. That's a little bit of truth, isn't it? Anyways. If they want to manage the ending, which I don't think they do, they might end up using troops for the coming food riots. Am I right, Arnold? Am I right? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's a vibration in the force.
Flight level 15, we have off release point, Echo Bravo 1.
Move in and check it out.
Roger, moving in. Food riot in progress. Approximately 1,500 civilians, no weapons evident.
Proceed with Plan Alpha. Eliminate anything moving.
I said the crowd is unarmed. There are lots of women and children down there. All they want is food, for God's sake.
As you were, Richard. Proceed with Plan Alpha. All rioters must be eliminated.
The hell with you. I would not fire on helpless people. Abort mission. We're going to turn back to base.
Okay. So, if you're not aware, that comes from the 1987. That's the year, 1987. Fuck. you know, 39 motherfucking years ago, I was in high school. I was not having sex. Yeah, it was from the 1987 film, based upon, I believe, a Stephen King short story, but the film was called The Running Man. And it could be a Philip K. Dick story. I think it's either Stephen King or Dick, and I honestly don't care. The point is, the movie's called The Running Man, and this character that Schwarzenegger plays decides not to fire on a crowd of you know, people who are just wanting food. I don't think the powers that be care how the final days occur. I think they're waiting for the threshold event. And when the threshold event occurs, they don't have to do anything but eat popcorn and watch us exactly the same way those Israeli citizens were doing with the people in Gaza. Except for in this case, these people are, you know, part of that club that George Carlin talks about, and they're in Antarctica, and you're never going to get to them. You're never going to seek revenge. You're never going to be able to do it. In this case, Schwarzenegger's character gets arrested, and he gets put on that show, and I don't want to talk about it. The point is, they could be bringing the troops home if it's the best case scenario. Let's say it is just the collapse of the dollar. Let's be optimistic. And the dollar is toast, which I think it functionally is at this point. You know, there's a concept of functional extinction. And that's when you're not dead yet, but for all intents and purposes, there aren't going to be any more of you. The petrodollar might be functionally extinct, and the dollar might be too. And it's only a question of how many dollars get printed. But let's say it's the best case scenario. That means Papa Blumpity Blump probably needs all the troops to come home. I mean all of them. Because he is going to need a cadre of people to keep his government from imploding, especially if this Iran-Israel debacle, you know, blows up in his face. It's going to get serious. Is there a way for him to save his ass? I already said how. Next topic. This article comes from Zero Hedge, and it was published on Tuesday, April the 7th. Wow, 2 days ago. Headline, Synagogue in Tehran Completely Destroyed in U.S.-Israeli Strikes on Area. The AP, AFP, and others have cited Iranian state media to say that U.S.-Israeli strikes have completely destroyed a synagogue in Tehran, as attacks have intensified overnight and into Tuesday. According to preliminary information, the Rafi Nia Synagogue was completely destroyed in the morning's attacks. The Sharg newspaper reported, Mehr News Agency describes the synagogue was destroyed when an adjacent residential building in central Tehran was bombed. You guys can read the rest of this yourself. The bottom line is, some of these strikes the other day blew up a synagogue. And, you know, accidental, right? It's kind of like that embassy, the Chinese embassy in, what was it, Belgrade in Serbia? Back in, what, 1998? Pre-Boblimpton, maybe? You can come to your own conclusions on this. If you wage war, people die. It's one of the reasons why I'm an anarchist. Anarchists believe fundamentally that you should never use force to solve problems, that actions should be voluntary. That doesn't mean I don't believe in self-defense. What pacifism really means is you don't believe in organizing groups of strangers to kill other organized groups of strangers. You don't believe that pointing guns at people increases their intelligence or their productivity. That's what, you know, anarchism and pacifism means. As far as self-defense, fuck. If I had a house, I would have lots of guns. Not to kill people, but to go shooting, have fun. It's a dude thing. Secret Service. And I like revolvers. Like, I'm a really big fan of 357. Taurus has some pretty cool options now with a moon clip. And if we're going to travel to the moon, that Taurus moon clip 357... That's the pistol piece to take to the moon. Although I think you'll need some recoil action on that, you know. Yeah. Tehran, other than Israel, has, I think, the largest Jewish community in the Middle East. I think it's very large. And what people don't realize is, to a very great extent, it's also been kind of protected. Yes, there are attacks on Jewish people, but Folks, if you consider the grief that the state of Israel and the United States has brought Iran over the last half century, more or less, then it's fair to say that, yeah, probably there's a lot of angst about Jewish people and the U.S. All of that could change overnight, by the way, including the hatred towards Jewish people, if Trump tossed the Zionist project under the fucking bus. It's not going to happen. But if you wanted to prevent a lot of backlash on Jewish people, if you wanted to prevent World War III, if you want a chance in hell at saving a dynasty, like, I don't care about Trump. I kind of hope he crashes and burns, because that'll be entertaining too. But he's a businessman. The smartest move he has right now, capture Netanyahu, capture the nukes, turn Nutty U over to the Hague. Man, that'll be big. And make the best deal ever with the state of Iran, knowing that you have just toppled the state of Israel and now you control it. Now Israel is under the United States control. That would be something. It's not going to happen. I had a big podcast planned for the other day, well, a few days ago, about war crimes. I don't really want to go into it because we're supposedly in the ceasefire. Everyone's heard this particular tweet. I might have read it. I don't know. I don't think I have, because I haven't done, well, whatever. I might have read it. This is a tweet from Donald Blumpity Blump, and I believe this is from Monday night or early Tuesday or something like that. A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want it to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the whole world. 47 years of extortion. Corruption and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran. Yeah, I gotta check a message here. I don't know. Gotta check a message. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. This is a statement that involves speech, that is absolutely speech, that Nuremberg would have classified as genocidal speech, which means admitting that you're going to commit a crime. And at Nuremberg, people argued that just the statement itself would be a crime against humanity, and arguably it is. The problem with this statement is, how do you back down? It's like what Hitchcock said. If you show people the gun, you have to use it. And this is basically true. If you're going to show people the gun, you have to use it. So we already covered this a little bit. I think that the Iran war looks like the COVID right now in a lot of ways. And it's a good bookend. I mean, if you're talking about bookends to a period of grifting and con artists and military psychological warfare at a strategic scale, a great bookend to the COVID op of 2020 is this Iran op. A lot like the Butler, Pennsylvania thing, which I think triggered Popping Smoke. I'm pretty certain in the summer of 2024, they were 100% convinced that the threshold point was within a few years. And again, that threshold point is when the volcano erupts. You can't really predict that day. But once that happens, all bets are off. So right now, the Iran has a dial, you know, 0 to 11, right? Spinal Tap. Right now, the Iran war has a dial, and they can turn it up or turn it down. Right now, they turned it down a little. Okay, but not that much. You know. So let's move on. I have a link about a new trauma monkey. I don't know if I'm going to talk about this much. It's related to this Islamic tribunal in Texas. I classify this under dude on beach running from cops, or local police fill skate park with sand. I can't verify any of this sideways bullshit. Or fucking Monkey Christmas Island in Australia where they were putting people in the concentration camps. Those stories from 2020 and 2021, I couldn't verify any of them. They all seemed like bullshit, and I think they are bullshit. I think this one is too. I have a link to FBI experimentation. There's a presentation there. You can look into it. It deals with things like targeting people, and the FBI has had license to do so for a while. I have a 2027 thing related to, I believe, technology, but it's more of that, hey, they're adjusting the dial on this popping smoke. I don't know. I have a couple other things I could talk about, but I might hold them for the next podcast because I think I need to close this one out. Or at least stop here for a second. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and stop, and then I'll pick it up maybe in an hour or so. Okay, I got to get my pants on.